Welcome back to the Slice of Empathy podcast. In today's episode, we are joined by Ermi Hussein, who brings an exciting conversation about navigating life in our 30s and debunking popular myths. She is a blogger, YouTuber, self-published author, and social media lead for the Victoria chapter in Canada. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm super excited to learn a little bit more about you, kind of diving into like life and what that looks like in our 30s.
Yeah, it would be my pleasure. My name is Ermi. I am based in Montreal. I work in the financial sector, but I also have a lot of side projects. I am a self-published author, YouTuber, blogger, speaker, mentor, and I'm a very, very big advocate of women's empowerment. And I turned 2 years ago 30, and I would say it was quite a challenge to be like mentally prepared for the 30s. But I can say definitely that 30s is not that bad as we often think. So that's why I'm here, just to share my experience with being 30 and how we can embrace it rather than see it as a negative thing.
Yeah, I love how you mentioned that because it's funny. I'm actually turning 35 this year. It's kind of the next milestone for 40. I remember before I turned 30, I actually have a friend. He's a little bit over 10 years older than me. And he's like, oh, you know, my 30s kind of sucked. And I'm like, oh no, I was kind of like, that didn't help matters. But I honestly, like for me personally, I have found 30s to kind of, for the lack of a better word, to kind of be like, at least for me, like kind of like your 20s, but like a little bit more financially settled. So I think that's like, for me, I know we were chatting a little bit offline about feeling like more empowered and kind of not really like caring so much like what people think. And I feel like I'm kind of starting to kind of get there because I spent so much of my younger adulthood, like late teens, 20s, like just like hyper-focused on pleasing others and kind of having that like second-guessing myself and things like that. So I know a lot of people, especially like our listeners, can definitely relate to that. How did your perspective kind of shift as you kind of got into your 30s?
So I used to ask one of my bosses about, because I had like a boss who was like 5 years older than me. And so I would talk to her about it. And she told me that, you know, when you reach your 30s, you become unapologetic. You start to care less about what people will say and think about you. And that's the type of mindset that I started to basically embrace. And I remember when I was much younger. So when I was in my 20s, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to turn 30s. Oh my God, that's like being old. And I remember always associating 30s with being old. And I would always tell this to people who are like in their 30s. I was like, oh my gosh, you're 30, you're old. And I would never realize that I was like offending them in a way. And then when I actually turned 30s, I was like, you know what? It's actually not that bad. It's really not that bad. I feel like I became a bit more empowered. I feel like I started to know my worth. And I started to do things that I very much enjoy. Like, I know you said, like, you felt like you were financially stable. For me, it was just more like knowing what I can do and how I can help other people. And it was just really just doing the things that I love. So that's how I embraced it. And one of my other friend told me that, you know, being 30 is like being your best year. It's like, for a woman, apparently, it's like the best years of her life. And that's how I feel about it. I feel like, you know, I feel very bold. I feel very confident. So it's like a beautiful thing, because I think when you reach 30, you're matured. You're not anymore a girl. You're actually a woman. So you feel very like, you feel very strong. If I have to like describe it in a way, like both mentally, physically, emotionally, it's a beautiful thing.
I love that. And I can highly, highly relate to that, because I honestly feel like I think there's especially so much expectations, especially when it comes to women. And I remember years ago telling a friend that I'm like, you know, I'm probably not going to have kids until I'm in my 30s. And then she was like, oh my God, that's too old. And I'm like, what? And I look back and, you know, not having, you know, kids yet, I kind of look back and like, you know, I can't imagine having kids, like, honestly, any younger. I know for everyone it's different, but as I kind of look at that now, like it's kind of crazy because I'll probably be like probably close to 40 by the time that happens. And I know that there's like people will probably be like, oh my God, that's really old. And and I kind of look back on that a little bit, because also when I kind of hit my 30s is when I really started being able, for many reasons, like being able to travel. And of course, finances also kind of impacted that. But I hear a lot of folks will say like, oh, you know, like the 20s is like the best time to get everything done before you have family and settle down. And it's funny because I feel like it's kind of working a little bit reverse for me, because my 20s, I was, I don't know, pretty broke for a lot of that time trying to figure out my career. And there was like no way I could like even consider like travel or kids at that time. And so I think it's an interesting perspective, because I know like a lot of people, it's like either you travel like when in your 20s, or you know, or you have to wait until you're retired. And so I think for me, being able to kind of also, as you mentioned, kind of like be like unapologetically yourself, kind of like follow like your own passions and dreams, regardless of other people are kind of thinking. And I feel like I'm finally kind of landing in that category to being a little more true to myself and like my wants. And people, of course, are going to have their opinions, but you know, there's nothing really you can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I could add further to that, I also feel a little bit like you in the sense that I think when you're like closer to your 30s and above, I think you start to live your life. Because I also feel like when I was in my 20s, I wasn't traveling as much. And I feel like in a way, like I was missing out. And now that I'm like in my 30s, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to wait until I retire to travel and enjoy my life. I want to do all of these things now. And I started to think more about the present rather than just being worried about the future. I think that also changed a little bit my perspective about like how to do things. Why should we wait tomorrow when we can do things right now? So I also like, for instance, I travel a bit more now. I don't wait for like, you know, a certain age. I don't wait to retire. I don't wait for like to stop working before I go to travel. I just do them as things come. And I do like to think of it like, you know, YOLO, like you only live once. So I like to live the day like fully each day.
Oh yeah, 100%. I definitely can relate to that, because it's kind of, at least within the last few years, that's been something that I've been trying to strive for. And fun fact, I've never been to Canada as a whole before, and Montreal and also Vancouver are on top of my bucket list. And we're actually trying to plan a road trip over to Vancouver this summer. I'm based out of California, so a couple days drive. And we were planning like a Buffalo, New York trip and trying to like maybe drive up to Canada, but unfortunately that didn't work out. But that's definitely like something that's been on my list. And I am definitely of the mindset of like, you know, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so like live today. And I know like, of course, not everyone agrees with that. And I know there are a lot of folks be like, oh, you need to save money, da da da. And you know, what about when you retire and things like that? And, you know, it's valid. I can understand why folks say that. But also at the same time, years ago, I had a cancer scare. And I think it made me really, and I wasn't even 30 yet. I was 28. And I was just like, I don't, like, what is life? And I'm like, I'm too young for this to happen. And so I feel like you just never really know. And so it's like, live each day to the fullest. And so, yeah, I 100%. Relate to that.
Yeah I also believe in that. Like I like to live my life like that as well.
And I know you mentioned that there were five monumental things that you kind of learned about when you turned 30. Can you share them with us?
Yes, I mean there are so many. Actually there were five of them, but there are many, many, many of them, honestly. I think for sure, like, living my life fully, like, in the present. Okay. Yes. So yeah, I do want to share some of the five most important things that happened to me when I reached 30. First of all, I think when we are in our 20s, we do have a very big circle of friends, right? Like we just want to have as many friends as possible. We want to be part of the cool gangs and things like that. But when you reach 30, I think that circle of friends just shrinks. And that's when you start to realize the importance of quality over quantity. And true friends, the people who are meant to be in your life, they will stay there forever and they will always be cheering for you. Whereas those people who are not meant to be, they will just go. And I think you have to learn to accept that there are, people who are just will be part of our life, but they are just few chapters of our book. And there are people who will be there from the beginning to the end of this, of the book, basically. That's how I like to do the analogy. So that's the first lesson that I learned, which is people come and go, and you care less about those that do not stay. The second thing that I learned is that when we are in our 20s, for instance, we are basically still kids in a way. We are students, we are trying to finish school, trying to get a job, and basically that's how life is. Then you get married and things like that. But one thing that I learned is that even though you reach your 30s and you think that, learning should stop, I think learning doesn't really stop. And you have to take this approach of being a lifelong learner. And that's how I do my thing on my daily life. I think, people think that you are in your 30s. Why are you still studying? But honestly, 30, 40, or 50s, you can study as long as you want. And I have met amazing people, even in their 60s and 90s, who keep learning and they keep studying. And I think that's the beauty of life, is that studying or learning doesn't have to stop once you're out of university. Continues, and I think it should always be like that. The third thing that I learned is that you have to put yourself first. And it goes back to what you just said, which is, I think we're brought up in this world in a way that we always have to please people. And I think this affects us more as women. Like we are taught that, you just have to please people. You have to say yes to whatever you're being asked. But I think when you reach your 30s, you start to learn that you are also important and that you matter. So you start to put your priorities before everyone else, and you start to think a little bit about much more about yourself, and you start to put boundaries, saying no when it doesn't align with your values, it doesn't align with your goals. And there is nothing bad with that, because I think we cannot make everyone happy. And I think that if you want to make people happy, it has to start with yourself first. You have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of your mental health first. You have to take care of your needs, your wants first. And once you are able to take care of that, then you can spread happiness. Because I do think that if you're always about, making other people happy, then you're neglecting yourself and you don't want to do that. And the fourth lesson that I learned, which is basically what we have just talked about, which is life is all about building experiences. And I think this comes from the fact that when we are in our 20s, we just want to buy we want to buy the coolest thing. We want to be in trend. So we buy expensive things, expensive clothes, bags, shoes, and things like that, because we want to stand out. But I think you start to realize that really life is about enjoying the moment, traveling, building experiences, meeting people, seeing different countries. And that's how basically you become richer. And it's not the materialistic things. It's really about the experiences that you build. And the last lesson that I have learned is you have to fall in love with life. Because I think life is really is made of a lot of emotions. We have periods of happiness. We have periods of sadness. But really, you just have to be able to see the positivity in the negativity. And really, I do think that if you take that approach in life where you see things around you not as bad as you think they are, I think you can always move forward and be able to, appreciate the little things in your life. And some of the things that very much I enjoy, for instance, taking a walk, looking at the you know, the birds, looking at the trees. These are really like nice things to do. And we shouldn't take those things for granted, you know. So you start to enjoy a little bit the little things that are there around you. You start to appreciate more, a little bit more, the little things. So these are the five things that for me were very important when I reached my 30. And I think everyone should take this approach.
I absolutely love that. Thank you so much for sharing those with us. And I highly relate, especially when it comes to like embracing our surroundings and nature. And it's funny, I kind of had like an epiphany sort of like somewhat recently, because I know when I was younger, for sure before I was 30, even like it was probably within only the last couple of years that I really kind of grew to appreciate some of the smaller things. And there was a point in my life, like there was just like no way I probably would have been like, well, that's just kind of silly or kind of corny, you know? Like when sometimes like even just going for a walk and just like feeling the elements of life and just kind of, as you mentioned, like listening to the sound of birds, hearing the sound of the, like maybe a waterfall or a rush of water that's coming nearby, and just kind of like taking a minute to kind of be in the moment. And I think it really helps you feel alive. It kind of brings that awareness to it and that appreciation that like maybe we didn't otherwise have before. And it's interesting, like younger me would have been like, you know, oh my gosh, like you're just kind of hokey or whatever. But now like I totally relate to that. And I'm always like thinking about, and I think for me, just like traveling and wanting to experience like different lifestyles and cultures is just amazing to me. I come home with this true appreciation and for life around the globe and seeing how different people live and with like different cuisines. And it just really, it just brings like a level of awareness that like we didn't think like we maybe had before. And I am very much of someone who really loves to have different experiences to kind of enhance like my view on life for sure. Because there was a point in time when I was much younger where like I was like very much like, I don't know if I want to say a homebody, but kind of like I didn't have like a real huge interest in like really traveling or really having like different experiences or that appreciation for nature and the things that are around us. And I think especially as we get older, for sure, like that is something we come to appreciate more. And it just kind of feels like sometimes like there's like blinders that maybe we're honest that have come off. And if I'm out experiencing like nature, maybe I'm on a hike or I'm traveling, of course, like I want to capture like, you know, photos and videos of it, but I also try to kind of be present, so to speak, and kind of like be in the moment and kind of experience everything that's going around me. Like what I can smell, what I'm hearing, and just kind of being in that moment. It's just really magical. And it's funny, I never thought I would come to this level of awareness like before, but it really, like, the world is truly a beautiful place. And so I'm really glad that you mentioned that.
I agree with everything you said. Like, I think there are some activities that we enjoy doing when we are a certain age, like a little bit like you. I do very much enjoy hiking, taking pictures of those things, being fully present. You know, it's like a mindfulness activity. And I don't think these are some of the things that you learn when you're in your 20s. I think it goes back to the fact that I think when you're in your 20s, you're basically trying to, you know, catch up other people. You're basically following the crowd. Like, you see people accomplishing things, you see people completing stuff. So you're like, oh my gosh, I have to do all of these things because you're following a crowd. Whereas in your 30s, you're like, you know what? Why did I even do that? Like, why was I caring so much about, you know, having a high paid job? Or why was I caring so much about the promotion, things like that? I think you really learn who you are in your 30s. And I think you really get closer to your true self and you start to take those steps to be closer to your true self. And you start to appreciate a little bit more, you know, what you're capable of. Like, for instance, for me, when I reach my 30s, like, yes, you want to be financially stable, for instance. That's important for everyone. And that's also important for me. But for instance, like, would you want to get a job that pays you a lot, but you're unhappy with it, for instance? Most people probably will, because they're like, oh, it's paying me a lot of money. But I think when you're in your 30s, you start to think, okay, is that really what I want to do? Or would I prefer to earn a little bit less, but be happy with the job that I have, for instance? So these were like, this was an approach that I took when I basically, when I changed job and I turned, and it was closer when I, it basically happened when I was turning 30. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that too, because actually within the last maybe 2 years or so, I want to say, I was really stuck on like wanting to climb the corporate ladder and like not necessarily be like a CEO, but be like, I don't know. I do marketing communications in like kind of my 9 to 5. And I was so like, yeah, I want to be a director and do all these things. And then I think I kind of like there kind of had this sort of aha moment to where I realized, I mean, I spent so many of my years, and I think also partially it's because of my upbringing where, you know, I think parents maybe are very like well-intended when they want to push their children as far as education. But I feel like it can be like one-dimensional. Like for me, it was like, okay, there's absolutely no question. You're to go to college. You're to like basically build your career, be at the top, da-da-da. There wasn't really like a lot of focus on like self-preservation and like experiencing the present and really like enjoying what you do. It was very much about you need to make good money. And to an extent, like I like understand, but also, you know, I feel like there is a sweet spot. Now, I've always said that, like, you know, if I can make enough money to where I can afford, you know, to be able to travel and afford like, you know, my lifestyle, like I'm okay. I don't need to be making like hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in order to be happy. Because like, as you said, if I'm in this like really top position and I'm not happy with that job, or I'm like working 70 hours a week and I don't have time to do the things that really make me happy, I think that it's not worth it. And I definitely think it's all about like that balance. And from coming from like a world to where I kind of, there's a lot, even in like my husband's family too, it's very much like very, very career driven. And that's like the first question. And I think like, even when people are dating too, it's like, what do you do for a living? Like, it's like one of the first things. And I kind of got to a point sometime, I think in my earlier 30s, to where I'm like, why is that? Like, there are so many other things that define me that aren't just like, you know, my 9 to 5. You know, I love to do art, or I love to do hiking, I love to travel. Like, there's so many other things that I feel like that are part of all of us than just like what we do for a living. And I think also, I know a lot of our listeners can relate to where I think, especially on social media, there's a lot of things that we see that may not be like realistic to like daily life, like especially like influencers who are getting paid to show certain things. And then I think a lot of folks get stuck feeling like, oh, you know, like, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I be doing that? And so it can really get to us. And I'm sometimes guilty of that as well. Sometimes we're like, you know, why can't I be like this person? Or why can't I be like that person? They make more money, or they're prettier, or all these different things that are kind of going on in our head. And so I feel like we have to kind of step back and kind of think, okay, now what, aside from all of like the outside voices, like what truly makes me happy, you know, and I'm that focus off. And, you know, am I okay with making less money? You know, can I afford to pay my bills and all of that? And like finding that kind of like happy medium, I feel like is a really key to really a lot, living a life that we love without making like crazy like sacrifices. And so I feel like I'm kind of at that point where I'm like, okay, well, you know, yes, it'd be nice to make money, but also like, if I don't have time to do things that I truly enjoy, like really worth it. So yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. And if I could add further to this, because I had a similar, like I had a similar goal when I was in my 20s, where I was like, you know what, I'm going to be like a manager. I want to have people to manage our work. I want to eventually become a CEO of a company and blah, blah, blah. So like, I'm still like very much driven and things like that. But then afterwards, I was like, you know what, I really don't want to do any of these things, because I don't want to be sucked into, you know, the corporate job and not be able to fulfill my passions and fulfill my goals, my other ambitions that I have in life. And so that's what I started to draw a little bit of a line and put a boundary where I was like, is this really what I want to do? And I started to, like, you know, start to vision myself like being that kind of person. But I was like, no, I don't think that's what I want to do. I think I want to really pursue my passions. Like, yes, I do need a full-time job to pay my bills and blah, 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 but it's not like everything. So for instance, like, you know, we all have our 9-to-5 job, and then we also have our 5-to-9. And that's, for me, that's fundamental. It's like, yes, like my identity, I don't want my identity just to be associated with my daytime job. Like, I want to be associated with these other things that I do in life, which are very important for me, because they align with who I am. They align with my values. And so you also start to draw basically a line between, okay, what's really important and what do I want to do? So I think you also start to reflect a little bit about your life. And I think it comes with age. I think it comes also with maturity, and probably it happens when you are closer to your 30s, because you somehow know what you want to do with your life. So.
Yeah. And I think for me, that's kind of when I really started having the realization of what I want out of life, and like feeling comfortable and saying that out loud. Like, you know, I really love my job, but I also really love to travel, and this is important to me. Or I also really love to write, and I also want to make time for that too. So I think that's really important. And I think for anyone who might be listening to this, I hope that they can take away the messaging is, you know, if you're trying to struggle, that there is definitely a balance, and there's definitely mm-hmm. a medium, and there's a lot of importance of doing what is true to yourself, and also no matter what other people might think. But I also want to kind of take it back to a little bit about navigating relationships, friendships in particular, because this is something that I have been struggling with like the past couple of years. I have some really very close friends from high school. We don't see each other very often. A lot of them, mm-hmm. you know, out of town or out of state. You know, once in a while, we'll kind of check in with one another. And even like a lot of my more local friends and friends that have moved away, I've often struggled with kind of maintain like those relationships and what they kind of like look like as we especially start getting into our 30s, and maybe like, you know, people have kids, or they have careers, or, you know, different obligations that are, you know, kind of consuming their lives a little bit. And I think it can be hard, because like, I'm even still struggling with this. Like, what does it look like? You know, what do those friendships look like? And there's admittedly even like a part of me, like I've had friends, as you mentioned, who have just, you know, like we, as kind of life, the progression naturally does, like maybe we've kind of drifted apart. And I know it, like it happens, but sometimes I find myself kind of like struggling with that. Like, I feel like I've really valued my friends and always have made a big place for them in my life. And so kind of like when those friendships sometimes fade over time, you know, with the different changes in our lives, it's like, oh, it's just like, sometimes I find myself like kind of really mourning that a little bit. But also mm-hmm. realizing that this is a part of life. And I feel like, I think a lot of people probably can relate to that, especially like when you get even into maybe like your later 20s, you're done with school. And, you know, as life kind of does, like, you don't have that, like, you're not seeing each other all the time. And I feel like there could be some type of balance to that too. And I have friends who live all like over the country and in different continents. And We even like, even if we send in like a check-in like once every several months, and it's as the relationship kind of takes up as if like we like, you know, just saw each other yesterday. And I think that's just really powerful. And that's kind of like when you know like that friendship is for life, even if you're not communicating regularly. And I feel like also I am originally from the Bay Area, and I moved 2.5 hours away to the Sacramento area about 10 years ago. And my husband and I, like, we were on meetup groups, like different types of like organizations to try and like make friends because we were like totally new. We didn't know anyone. And I feel like it was a maybe a little bit easier then, but now like my husband's 40, I'm in my mid 30s, it gets really hard to kind of make those relationships compared to like when we were in school or different things like that, where we're seeing folks every day. And so would you maybe have any words of advice to maybe anyone who might be struggling with that kind of thing and maybe navigating that?
I basically agree with everything you said, and I was just talking about this with one of my colleagues the other day. I basically told her that with friendship and relationships, as time goes by, it's really all about making an effort to keep this relationship. And I was telling her basically all of these things go in phases, meaning that, you know, when you're in high school or when you're like in university, you hang out with the same kind of people and you become closer to them. But that's because of the circumstances. And as soon as you're done with university, those relationships, they don't really stay because you're not in contact with them. You're not making an effort to see each other. And the same thing when you start working, you know, like if you go to different companies, you get really close to these people and then you change company and no one like texts, like you are not texting the person you used to talk to before. And that's normal and that's part of life. What I told her is really about making an effort of, you know, checking in with the person, going out with the person, you know, inviting your friends over, you know, getting together maybe, you know, every 6 months. Like it doesn't have to be a thing of every day because everyone gets busy with their life. And especially once you become much older, it becomes much harder to build a relationship. But it's really about making that effort. And a little bit like you, I have friends all over different continents, and I moved from one place to another. So I always had found myself making new friends. And my high school friends, and I'm talking about like 15 years ago, they are based in Italy and I'm in Montreal, but I talk to them pretty much every week and it feels like I never left Italy. So it's really about making an effort, you know, like you have to make time for this relationship and you cannot just say, oh, I don't have time for this. Because if you say, I don't have time for this, it just means that you really don't want to nurture this relationship. You really don't care about this relationship. So it's really about making the time to like seeing the other person, sending a voice note. And I can tell you this especially like I can tell you a bit more about this because I used to work in university with a bunch of like other people and we were a group of like 15 people. And I'm talking about like 10, 15 years ago. But I'm the only person in that group who basically like does get together every 6 months or every year so that we can like, you know, see each other for dinner and like catch up. Some people show up, some people do not show up, but I was told by one of my closest friends that I'm the person who I'm sort of like a glue because I keep together all these people. Like I'm keeping these relationships alive because I invite people to come to these events and we try not to lose track. We try not to lose each other because we are so caught up with our daily lives. So you have to make time for this relationships to work because it just gets much harder as you get older.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And it's always been important to me to try to reach out to different friends, especially in the Bay Area. I still have a lot of friends there. And even if it's, you know, during the holidays or different things like that, when we'll schedule the meetup, even if it's only for like an hour or two, it still just makes all of that difference to kind of have that connection, even if we can't see each other all that often. If you find yourself in a position where you're the only person, say, reaching out to that friend, what kind of advice would you offer? Now, sometimes I kind of wonder this myself. If you're the only one who's making the effort, is that relationship like worth preserving, or is it like kind of something you maybe just kind of accept? I just kind of want to hear maybe your thoughts on that and kind of navigating that. Is a relationship worth preserving? Because I have some that like are kind of like that I know that different folks have different circumstances to maybe where they can't travel or different things like that. So like we're communicating like either over text or over the phone or different things like that too. But I think a lot of folks can relate to where they feel like maybe they're the only one making the effort. Like, what would you advise in that situation?
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street, because you don't want to be the only person making an effort, because then it feels like you're forcing the other person to be in the friendship or whatever. And I can tell you this, especially because I had a situation where I was the only person making an effort with this friend of mine. I would always message her. We would meet up and stuff like that. I would tell her about my life, what we're doing. We'll basically catch up. And then suddenly one day, she just unfollows me from my social media, and she never messaged me after I messaged her. And I was like, you know what? That's when you realize who your true friends are and who's meant to be. And you start to be a little bit more, I would say, aware about those people. You also learn about who these people are. And this friend of mine, I used to be very close to her, and suddenly it turns out that she doesn't want to talk to me anymore. She never explained why. So it's really about like, it's two ways. It's two ways, this kind of effort. Like, it cannot be just one-sided, because it doesn't work like that for any kind of relationship. So if you find yourself like making too much of an effort and the other person is not doing anything, then it's not worth it. Honestly, it's not worth wasting your time.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that too, because I've had some similar experiences where I've kind of struggled with, should I maybe, I'm not a confrontational person by any means, but I kind of struggled with, I was feeling frustrated. Like, should I mention it to him? Like, hey, I really feel like I'm the only one giving like this effort, you know, and not really receiving a lot in return, versus like, should I just like let that relationship kind of naturally kind of run its course, kind of fade? I feel like it's really tough, because it's like, especially if it's someone you're really, really close to, and it just kind of like happens like out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I had a similar situation years and years ago. It was when I was still in high school, but I was working at this job, and I had this coworker who I became really, really close to. And just one day, all of a sudden, she just stopped talking to me. And I still to this day don't know why. And mm-hmm. at the time, it was just, I just felt so hurt over it. And looking back on that now, like, I realize that those things can happen. But I think it's really hard, especially if you feel like you don't know if like you did or said something wrong. And so, yeah, I think that could be like hard for a lot of people, because it's like, if there's something I did that upset you, like, I'd like to know so I can work on whatever it is or make amends. But I think, unfortunately, there are just some situations maybe where there isn't really anything that we can do about it. And
yeah, I had a similar situation. It was this one where, of course, this friend of mine, I was super close to her, and like, even during the pandemic, we made an effort to see each other, and we don't live far away from each other. And then when she suddenly unfollowed me, she stopped, you know, talking to me. I was very hurt. I have to tell you this. I was very hurt, because I cared for this relationship. And as I spoke about this with my coworker, I was like, you know what? Don't take it, like, really don't feel bad about it. And she told me just to let it go. So that's one of the lessons that I learned, which is to let go. to really let go, because there is nothing that you can do about it. Just know that you have done your best. And if this person doesn't want to talk to you, it says more about this person rather than yourself. And so that's how I see it. Like, if something is bad, it's really not about me, but it's the other person who doesn't want to continue this relationship. And that's okay. We move on with life, and there are And probably these people leave because they're making space for better people to come in our life. So it's, you just let it go.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And that's something that I'm currently working on myself. I'm like, you know, sometimes it's just better to let it go, to let it, you know, like, kind of natural progression of things go. Because I think also as the years go on, especially as we get older, there are always more people that kind of come into our life, whether it's at work or different things that we're involved in. There's always going to be more people that kind of come in. And I think also, like, when you get into your 30s and older, being more intentional about kind of fostering those relationships, because we kind of have to make that extra effort, especially if we're not seeing each other every day, to kind of build that connection, which I think is really, really important.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there any other practical tips or advice for listeners that, you know, who may be approaching or maybe currently navigating their 30s that you might want to add?
Honestly, it's not as bad as you think it is. Age is just a number. That's definitely how I see it right now. If you feel young in your heart, that's all that matters. And honestly, you start also to forget about your age once you reach a certain age. Like, I forget sometimes when I'm in my 30s. I'm like, you know what? It's really not that bad. So honestly, just embrace it and try to see, like, it's especially for women. I do agree that 30s, it's like, those are like the beautiful years, because you really learn about yourself. You start to explore a little bit more about different things. You start to do different things. You start to pursue more your passions, and you have to take this kind of approach. You know, it's like really not that bad. You don't have to have it figure it out by 30s. You know, life is really a journey and not a race. And at the end, everyone reaches a certain destination, but you're not supposed to be reaching, like, we're not all supposed to be reaching the same destination. We're all meant to be doing something different. So just go with the flow.
Oh, absolutely. That's beautifully worded. Couldn't have said it better myself, especially as we get older. We are always constantly learning, and there is no end point to that. We're always going to evolve and become better, more knowledgeable humans. So I absolutely love that you said that. And so, yeah, 30s isn't the stop. We're going to be continuously learning more and more about ourselves as we get into our 40s and 50s and beyond.
Exactly.
I also want to take a moment, if you can maybe share with our listeners where they can connect with you. I think you mentioned you had a book published, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can share with our listeners where they can maybe pick up your books and follow you.
Yes. So my book is called Discovering Your Identity, A Rebirth from Intergenerational Struggle. It's available on Amazon, and it's a book basically about me being a cross-culture kid. And I talk about a little bit about my life in Italy, being a South Asian woman. So there is that available on Amazon. I also have an Instagram account called Urmi Mio. I also have my YouTube channel called Urmi Hossain. And I also have my blog called myways.ca. So, and I also have my LinkedIn account, which is called the Urmi Hossain. So for anyone who wants to connect with me, I'm available in those platforms.
Awesome. I'll make sure I get those listed in the show notes as well. And I'll also make sure I'm following you. And yes, I really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so much. I absolutely loved our conversation and loved your insight.
Thank you.